They make the difference between simply reading about the crucifixion and having a sense of being an eyewitness. I'm talking about the precise observations that you'll find in the Gospel of Luke. Have you overlooked critical details about Calvary? Find out on Grace to You. Thanks for joining us on this Monday Grace to You broadcast as John MacArthur shows you parts of the story that you may not know about, frankly, the turning point in human history. Stay with us as John begins a new study simply titled The Crucifixion Chronicle. Now, it may surprise you that although John has been teaching God's Word for 50 years, he only recently taught through Luke's account of the crucifixion. John, as a way of whetting people's appetite for what they're about to hear, anything unusual about what Luke adds to the crucifixion story?
Well, I think through the years, Carl, I've always had a way of finding things in the text of Scripture that maybe aren't seen there on the surface. It's been kind of the fun and the joy of Bible teaching. And certainly going through Luke's crucifixion chronicle, going through the marvelous, majestic, thrilling account of the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are things that are there in the Scriptures that many people hadn't even considered. And the experience of doing this at Grace Community Church just a few months ago was life-transforming. I can only say that people kept coming up to me and just riveted by a new view of the glory of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the familiarity we have with certain elements of biblical history, I think sometimes cut us off from digging a little deeper. So I think this series is going to be a great joy for those of you who faithfully listen. We're going to look at the comedy at Calvary. That may shock you to start with. But a comedy was being played out at Calvary in the midst of the greatest of tragedies. We're going to see a lot more as we move toward Resurrection Day.
The title of today's lesson is not a mistake, The Comedy of Calvary. It's a critical part of the crucifixion story, and to explain further, here's John MacArthur with today's lesson.
Luke chapter 23, the comedy at Calvary. It is a shocking idea. It is an irreverent notion. In fact, it is on the surface cruel and could well be considered blasphemous to think of Calvary as a comedy. And certainly, when you think of Calvary, you think of its horrors, its cruelties, its agonies. You do not think of it as a comedy, nor should you. I don't think of it as a comedy. But the people who participated in it when it happened turned it into a comedy. For them, Calvary was a joke. The classic dictionary definition of comedy is a ludicrous or farcical event. That's Webster. If you wanted a synonym for that definition of comedy, it might be satire, farce, parody, burlesque, vaudeville, or you might just call it a joke, a rather extended joke. And from the viewpoint of the crucifiers of Jesus, the whole event had been twisted into a perverted and extended joke. Truly it was, in their view, a comedy. And Jesus was the butt of the joke. What was the joke? "This is the King of the Jews." Laughable to them. Now remember, Jesus had already been stripped of his freedom when he was arrested, stripped of his rights when he was unjustly condemned, stripped of his friends when they all forsook him, stripped of his ministry. He had been stripped of his clothing down to a loincloth, but that was not enough. They were about to strip him of his life, but in the process, they wanted to make sure they stripped him of his honor and any respect that he might still possess. And so the execution of Jesus is designed to be one big laugh, comic satire. This is a king? Luke says very few words about the crucifixion. Very few. But says many words about the attitude of the people who were there. Scorn, sneering, mockery, sarcasm, all at the laughable King of the Jews. Now, obviously, from God's viewpoint, what the crucifiers thought was so ironically ridiculous and funny was deadly serious. The Jews joined the comedic game with Jesus as the target of their sarcasm and ridicule, maybe to assuage their guilt. And the Roman soldiers, of course, joined the comedic game with Jesus as their target, perhaps to assuage their boredom. But Luke describes for us the comedy at Calvary. How wrong can people be? How far from reality can they get? Let's listen to what Luke writes, starting in verse 33 of Luke 23. "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, 'Since you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' Now there was also an inscription above him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'You are the Christ, aren't you? Save yourself and us.'" There are three verbal actions described here: sneering, mocking, and hurling abuse. And they define for us the attitude of the crowd, both the Jews and the Romans. All of them throwing scorn at Jesus. There are three statements that reinforce the intent of those three actions. Three snide, sarcastic, mocking, ironic statements. "He saved others. Can't he save himself? Since you are the Son of God, save yourself and us. You are the Christ, aren't you? Save yourself and us. All intended as sarcasm at this laughable claim that was placed above his head, this is the King of the Jews. It was actually more than just their taunts that makes this a comedy. They had staged this comedy very carefully. They had enthroned Jesus like a king is enthroned above the people, only on a cross. They had placed on his head a crown, not a gold crown, but a crown of thorns, digging into his brow, sending blood streaming down his face. And then, in their diabolical comedy, they had crucified one thief on the right and one on the left. This is to parody a king who has on his right and his left his two leading courtiers. The second and the third most honorable people in the court. And so they put two criminals, one on each side of this king, as if they were his most respected courtiers. And then they offer him mock royal wine, as if doing their duty to serve the need of the monarch. And it didn't just start there. He had been wearing the crown of thorns for a while. And earlier, when he was in Pilate's judgment hall, they had put a mock robe on him, a mock royal robe on him, and they had put a scepter in his hand, a reed, and they had hailed him as a king and then taken the reed and beat him in the head with it and spit on him to show their disdain for the notion that this was a king. The whole joke really kind of started there, and then it began to escalate, and the Romans really turned it into a full-grown comedic melodrama. And it was all under the title, "This is the King of the Jews." What a laugh. The Jews laughed at it. The cross to them, Paul says, was a stumbling block. There was no way that their Messiah, that the Son of God, would ever be crucified. It was a joke to think of him as their king, their Messiah, a crucified man, crucified by their archenemies, the pagan, idolatrous Romans. It was equally ludicrous for the Romans, who saw a crucified God as foolishness, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, impossible to believe. He claimed to be a king, he had no army. He claimed to be a king, he had no entourage. He claimed to be a king, he had no territory. He claimed to be a king, he conquered no one ever. What a joke. What a joke. And so they extended the joke into a full parody. And it was all just a big laugh. And they were so cruel in their comedy as to cast these sarcastic insults in the face of the crucified Christ. This was not a time for laughing. If you go back to verse 27, there were following Jesus on the way to the cross, a great multitude of the people, and among them women who were mourning and lamenting him. They were the official, dutiful, hired mourners who went along at events like this. But Jesus, turning to them in verse 28, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." This is not only not a time to laugh, this is in fact a time for weeping, and not weeping for me, but weeping for yourselves because you have rejected me and God has rejected you. You better come to the cross with the right attitude. You don't want to laugh at your own eternal expense. Given the brutal character of crucifixion to start with, it should have been enough that Jesus was crucified without adding insult to injury and turning it into a joke and mocking him as he hung there in agony. Now, let's go back to verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Do I need to say to you that the New Testament is extremely restrained in how it describes the crucifixion of Jesus? Extremely restrained. Three Greek words. There they crucified him. Four words in English. That's all it says. There they crucified him. That's all it says. That's all it says in Matthew. That's all it says in Mark. That's all it says in Luke. And that's all it says in John. There are no details at all. None. Not about the hammers, not about the nails, not about anything physical whatsoever. Just three words. There they crucified him. Why is there not a further explanation of what this involved? Because to all the readers at the time the New Testament was written, they knew well what it was to be crucified. Crucifixion was common. We're told that as many as 30,000 people were crucified in the land of Israel around the time of Christ. 30,000. And the Romans always crucified them in public places along highways and on hills so that everybody would see the results of rebellion against Rome. They were well aware of what a crucifixion involved. No need to describe it. And there's no need for the Bible writer to describe Jesus and the actual crucifixion that he endured, because it would have been exactly the same as everybody else endured. I probably need to remind you, although it's very obvious, that it says there they crucified him and the criminals. Whatever they did to him, they did to them. So the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is not a solitary experience for him, not by any means. There were tens of thousands of people who were crucified in the ancient world till it was finally outlawed in the 3rd or 4th century AD. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, were crucified. And in one way or another, it was the same for all of them. So the Bible is not concerned to give us details about the actual physical elements of it, for that's not the point. And that was very familiar to everyone. Crucifixion goes back actually to the 500s BC, 6th century. Seems to have been invented by the Persians. Darius crucifies 3,000 Babylonians. It's the first time we read about it. Alexander the Great, in the great Greek Empire, crucified 2,000 citizens of the city of Tyre in vengeance over the way they treated him and put them up on crosses along the shore for everyone to see. Around 100 BC, Alexander Janius crucified 800 Pharisees and made their wives and children watch them be crucified. The Romans came to power in 63 BC and used crucifixion extensively and perfected it as a fine art of torture. In 70 AD, when the Romans did conquer Israel and destroyed the temple and slaughtered the Jews, historians say that Titus used so many crosses to crucify Jews they ran out of lumber. Crucifixion was very common. It didn't need an explanation. But the Jews couldn't comprehend that their Messiah would be crucified. He was to come as a conqueror, not one conquered, and especially that he would be crucified by being rejected by the leaders of Israel and then executed by pagan, idolatrous Romans. This is not their Messiah. This is an agent from Satan who does what he does by the power of Satan. And he died a common death like tens of thousands of other low-life, riff-raff, common criminals, for crucifixion reserved only for them. This was so impossible an idea that Jesus was truly the King of the Jews that for them it was an absolute joke. The joke lingered, by the way, after Calvary. On my several visits to the city of Rome, I'm always fascinated when I'm able to do it to go over to the Palatine Hill near Circus Maximus and to go into what was once a guardhouse for Roman soldiers. And in the guardhouse, there is some ancient graffiti that goes back to the early centuries. The graffiti pictures literally scraped into the stone a crucified body of a man with the head of a jackass. And below the crucified man with the head of a jackass is a Christian bowing down. And the graffiti says, "Alexamenos worships his God." What a joke. What a joke. A crucified God. Nothing more than worshiping a jackass. Justin Martyr, Christian apologist, in his first apology, A.D. 152, summarized the view of Christ that was held by people in the world, and essentially they thought it was a joke. They say, writes Justin, our madness consists in this, that we give to a crucified man a place equal to the unchangeable and eternal Creator God. End quote. So if you think a crucified man is the eternal Creator God, you are a fool. And that is a joke. It was sheer insanity to the murderers of Jesus to consider him any different than others who were crucified. In fact, for the Jews, his crucifixion sealed the fact that he was not the Messiah, because Deuteronomy 21:23 says, "Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, cursed by God." Anyone, therefore, who was crucified was treated with contempt, treated with disdain. It was reserved for the worst and the lowest, the social pariahs, the outcasts. And so when they came to the cross, typically they came to the cross with scorn. And the idea that Jesus claimed to be God's anointed King and Messiah was just laughable, so bizarre, so ludicrous, and so ridiculous that they managed to turn the whole thing into a comic melodrama. For them, a man like Jesus claiming to be a king only demonstrated that he belonged in an asylum for the insane. However, he was king, and one person recognized it. Go down to verse 42. One of the two thieves, who was put in a position to be part of the comedy, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in or into your kingdom." He could see through the joke. He could see through the farce, the parody, the vaudeville, to the truth.
King of the universe, unlawfully convicted, relentlessly tortured, his suffering merely a joke to his tormentors. Humbling truth from John MacArthur's new study called The Crucifixion Chronicle, here on Grace to You. John, it's a sobering topic, of course, this Crucifixion Chronicle, but to step back a bit and think about what you've been able to do, preach the cross of Christ openly on radio, all over the face of the globe, reaching into homes or hospitals and prisons, into offices and cars. We live in an amazing day with an amazing opportunity, don't we?
You know, that makes me think about an occasion I had where I was preaching in a church on the East Coast, Carl, and I stepped into the pulpit of just an outstanding church with a very, very capable young pastor. And I started to preach, and he was so excited to have me in his church. I think we were dedicating his new auditorium. And about 10 minutes into the sermon, or about 15 minutes, some guy in the middle of the auditorium stands up and starts hammering me, starts shouting at me and yelling at me and denying everything I was saying. And this poor pastor is mortified. You know, I've come to his church, and he wants to put on the best situation he can. And here's this goofy guy just shouting at me and hollering at me. And you know, my response at the moment was, boy, I'm thankful to the Lord for my church, and I'm thankful to the Lord for radio, because in all the years we've been on radio, nobody's ever interrupted me. Isn't that amazing? It can't be done. So you can turn it off, you can switch the dial, but you can't get back at me. Oh, you say, don't they write letters? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get letters, but how wonderful it is to be able to proclaim the Word of God. You make that possible. You're the bridge that connects Grace to You to the people we're reaching. That is you who support us with your gifts and your prayers. Stay in touch, will you? We need you.
Friend, if you've benefited from this broadcast, share your story with us. That will encourage us more than you might know. And keep in mind the active role that you play in getting God's truth to listeners around the globe. Express your support as you contact us today. Our mailing address is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Now, your support helps us cover production costs for this broadcast as well as airtime costs. We pay for the airtime on most stations that carry Grace to You. We also give away thousands of Bible teaching books and CDs every year free of charge. Friends like you help make that ministry possible. So you can give over the phone at any time by calling 1-800-55-GRACE or go online to the Donate to GTY link right there at the website gty.org. While you're online, be sure to download John's new series, The Crucifixion Chronicle. There are 5 MP3s free of charge, or you can buy the series on 5 CDs at a reasonable price. You can also browse the online catalog and from that order things like the MacArthur Study Bible or one of John's books. And to help get more Bible study tools into your hands, we've reduced prices on all of our resources by 25%. So log on today and take advantage of this discounted materials. The web address again is gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the staff, thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to join us tomorrow as John continues unleashing God's truth one verse at a time here on Grace to You. It wasn't just unfair. Giving Jesus the death penalty was history's greatest miscarriage of justice. Yet, to many onlookers, the crucifixion was nothing but a comedy. Hear the stunning details tomorrow on the next Grace to You.